if you haven't yet taken a look at the financials or checked out our membership list, you might want to do that, you who are members particularly. On item number 4 down at the bottom, it says eligible voting members list posted. Please check and let the office know if there's any corrections that need to happen there. So please do that. We also have risk management and safety management coming up next Sunday. So those of you that have been working with children and youth in our congregation, this is particularly for you to give you that annual check and training once again. So please mark that and intend on coming. Pastor May is also has lunch prepared, so you don't have to worry about getting home and getting lunch and coming back. You can all be done in one place and right here. Also, next week we have our bake sale that's going to be happening. Our own Soul Sisters. Let's hear some Soul Sisters this morning. Yay, Soul Sisters. Where are you? Oh, yeah, here they are, right down in the front. Okay. Our Soul Sisters are baking and preparing some Valentine's and New Year's treats to raise some support again for our building expansion projects. So if you have some loose change, please bring that with you next Sunday to pick up some goodies for New Year and also some things for Valentine's as well. Also, down at the bottom, there's the recommended book. We have 20 more copies for you, The Calvary Road. And thanks for Bert bringing those to us again, timely fashion, contacting George River and getting another 20 copies for us at $1 a piece. And usually these go for about $6. So this is a real good deal to have $1. And again, that encourages you to read along with us when we go through the messages. So Joanne has those with her, so you can pick them up from Joanne Ung after the service. Joanne, can you kind of wave your hand around there, right up here at the front? So look for Joanne and see if you can pick up a copy. Also, you might not be aware of this, but our young children in our church have been striving to practice some Cantonese and also some Mandarin songs. And they're going to be presenting at Henderson in this next week, right? Is that right, Jimmy? 21st of this month. So if you have some time free and you want to see our kids perform, you're more than welcome to go to Henderson and support them. It's a great opportunity to reach out with the gospel, reach out with God's love. And that's through our kids that are being so bold as to be in a public forum at Henderson Center in way of celebrating New Year's. And that's upon us in this next week, is it not? So let's reflect on those things and pray again to God that He might give our kids boldness as well as us boldness as we seek to connect with our neighbors, our friends, in way of talking to them about God's love, and maybe very appropriately given that it's Valentine's Day coming up as well. Lord Jesus, thank you for today and for this opportunity we take to be in your house to worship amongst God's people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here present with us to give us strength, to give us courage, to give us boldness in way of what we say and how we present ourselves and how we live our lives before each other and before the world. We pray for particularly our children that have been really struggling with some of these Mandarin and Cantonese songs to sing and to perform in our New Year celebration at Henderson. We pray for the parents that are encouraging them and coaching them, as well as our leaders that are helping out and our musicians that are going to be helping out. Lord, may you bless all of us as we seek to honor your name before the world, before people. We thank you for Raymond as well and commit him again to you and pray your blessings upon our children's ministry as he continues to work downstairs even now. Thank you, Lord, for all those that are serving here at Westwood, and we pray now that you would continue to give us wisdom as we look into your word and seek to understand you and what you would have for us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, as we look at our sermon outline in your bulletins, you can follow along with me. You'll notice I've entitled this, My Cup Overflows. My Cup Overflows. I'll need maybe one or two volunteers to help me this morning. Daniel, okay, thank you. You'll need something like this, a towel. Could possibly get wet this morning. Maybe Peter, could you help me with a few more paper towels here? Here you go. Okay. You don't have to get too close. Well, you just stand there for a moment here, and I have a cup here before us, and of course a pitcher of water. And this picture of water representing Jesus' love, His grace, His power, everything that He would have that is good for our lives. And often when He gives us blessings, He gives us abundant blessings in our lives. And we know that sometimes when there's abundant blessings in our lives, sometimes things can get a little messy and overflow in our lives. Okay, that's great. Thank you, Daniel. Yeah, just kind of sop it up a little bit there. Well, there's a vast difference in our behavior, in our attitude when we are having an abundance mentality versus a scarcity mentality. And a lot of times in our lives, we think of our world in way of the scarcities and the difficulties that we endure. Scarcity mentality can be quite painful, creating a lot of unnecessary fear, anxiety, and even desperation in our lives. An abundance mentality, on the other hand, sees that there is always new chances, new opportunities, lots of time on our hands. Scarcity says, we've only got one shot at this. We got to make it a reality right now, and that's it. And so when we fail, when we don't succeed, we really can go into a slump and think, that's it. The world has come to an end. I have no more opportunity, no more chance, and this is it. Well, when we think of scarcity and abundance, we think in way of what Roy Hessian has talked to us about in his book, and the second chapter that we're talking about, My Cup Overflows. Roy Hessian, in chapter 2, talking about his cup overflowing, says, the picture that makes things simple and clear to us, and so many of us, is that the human heart is a cup which we hold out to Jesus, longing that He might fill it with the water of life. Jesus is pictured as bearing a golden water pot with the water of life. A clean cup He fills to overflowing with the water of life. Here's a few scripture verses that are here printed on the overhead for you today. John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Psalm 23, verse 5 says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Luke 11:13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Well, first of all, we want to draw our attention to the significance of the overflowing or overfilling. Abundance results in not holding back, counting or limiting things. Abundance demands full engagement, full enjoyment, full participation, letting loose, the pedal to the metal, a beating heart and excitement in our step. An abundance. We use words like over the top, lavish, profuse, copious, heaping. I'm reminded of Jesus' means of calling his disciples. He told them to put down nets in deeper water. And after they had fished all night long and caught nothing, I can just hear the excuses of scarcity coming from their lips. But Jesus, we know there's no fish here. I mean, come on, we've fished all night long. But because it was Jesus, because he had said, put your nets down in deeper water, then they kind of maybe thought to themselves, well, he's just a carpenter. What does he know, right? Maybe we'll just put down the nets to placate him, or maybe even prove him wrong, you know, that we are the fishermen, he's the carpenter. Let's just do what he says. And so they let down the nets. And the scripture says to us in Luke chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Can you imagine the abundance of fish that two boats, not one boat, but two boats, began to sink because of the amount of fish that were put in those boats? When Jesus feeds the 5,000, a miracle in itself, because we know there wasn't a lot of food around. A boy with a small lunch of a couple of loaves and a few fish comes and says, well, would these help? And after distributing to a crowd of 5,000, it says that they even picked up 12 baskets full of scraps. So much was the abundance. Then Jesus attends a wedding and turns water into wine. It's the choicest of wines, and the amount is extreme. It says in John chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. So they filled them to the brim. You would think that he might say, oh, well, you know, does anybody have any, you know, 1-liter bottles around? You know, no, he looks for the biggest container around, which were ceremonial washing jars. And he says, okay, now fill those. And they fill them to the brim, to well nigh overflowing. And Jesus changes those big 20, 30 gallon containers into wine flowing out for the wedding feast, for the wedding celebration. Abundance, abundance. Jesus never used scarcity model by means to minister. He always used abundance as a model, and then some, and then some, to the point of overflowing. People just couldn't contain Jesus' supply of abundance. It overflowed the cup. Let me give you 3 significant reasons here today for abundance in Jesus' ministry. In Luke chapter 11, before the verse that talks about the Father giving of the Holy Spirit, verses just prior to that, it says, ask, seek, and knock, and those things will be answered by God. When we ask, seek, and knock from God, we better get a bigger cup. That's number one for significance. Number two, if God gives to overflowing, we better be sure that we aren't stingy in our giving to reflect God's glory. 3, abundance expresses joy and celebration, does it not? Those 3 reasons, I believe, are reasons why Jesus performed and executed his ministry and his miracles in way of abundance towards his people. He wanted us to know great joy in him a celebration in Him. Secondly, who wants to be wants bread and fish when we can have the Holy Spirit? Again, looking at Luke chapter 11 here this morning. Luke chapter 11, we read the account of how the goodness of God is expressed in giving us of the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Matthew 7 and 9 through 11 express the goodness in terms of not giving something evil to us. Just like as asking a father to a son asking for maybe a loaf of bread or a fish, God wouldn't give a stone instead of a loaf of bread or a snake instead of a fish. Us being evil, God being good, God would give of His Holy Spirit even more so. And so in comparison here in way of good and evil and what we would give and have the potential to resource even our children, Jesus says, ask of the God for His Holy Spirit. And God would give an abundance of the Holy Spirit to us if we but ask. I don't think our problem here is knowing God's goodness. We can give that a tacit nod of our heads. Yeah, God is good. Our hardship really is in comparing the Holy Spirit to, you know, the fish and the bread. When we look at those temporal things in our lives and we think, man, those things are good. I'm not talking about a meal of, you know, maybe Kraft dinner or something like that with a little candlelight. No, I'm talking maybe going to a fancy restaurant, you know. I don't know which fancy restaurant you attend, but I'm talking about one of those ones where you go with your wife on Valentine's Day and you got that candle there, and they bring that French baguette, you know, that French baguette, and they got that balsam vinegar and olive oil there, you know, and you're able to crack that baguette and just tear off a little bit and then dip it in that balsam vinegar, olive oil. Oh. You know, and that fish isn't just any normal fish. No, no. It's the king of fishes. The most beautiful fish, that, you know, for Chinese, it's the rock cod, I'm sure. You know, for us, maybe as a Westerner, maybe it's the salmon. Okay, whatever it is, beautiful fish. The reason I'm saying these things to you is because often in our lives, we picture the things of this world as so much more beautiful and so much more wonderful that we would possess them and want them. But yet when it comes to asking of the Holy Spirit, somehow the picture of the Holy Spirit really doesn't come to the fore and the play in our mind like something that we eat. And, you know, to bear witness and testimony, just look on your Facebook accounts. How many people take pictures of food on their Facebook accounts? Okay? Now, stay with me here. When you're on Facebook, aren't there those beautiful plated meals? You know, nobody takes a picture of Kraft dinner with ketchup beside it or anything like that, right? It's always over the top, beautifully plated meal, and your mouth just starts to drool. Well, Jesus is saying here in way of Luke chapter 11 and Matthew 7, the parallel passage, talking to us significantly about our desire for the Holy Spirit to come in and dwell us, and really being even the better gift, the best gift that we could desire and want for ourselves and for our congregation, for the church, for the world, that God would send His Holy Spirit to indwell us, to empower us, to be with us. What does that look like? Well, a lot of times I think we get kind of scared of the idea of a Holy Spirit coming and dwelling us. How about my own spirit? How do I deal with this Holy Spirit, my spirit kind of coming in, and what does that look like, and how do I deal with that? I believe the best picture and the image of the Holy Spirit comes to us in understanding, in looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, of the fruits of the Spirit, of love, joy, peace. And these aren't the images of, in terms of a continuum of just being, you know, a cup half full of water, but overflowing of joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and long-suffering. That is the image of the Holy Spirit that the Scriptures teach us about and would have us desire greatly for our lives, that our lives might be overflowing with the Spirit. And when our lives overflow with the Spirit, often we cannot control what happens in way of the Spirit coming into our life and it overflowing. When you're so joyful, what happens is you bubble over in that joy, and that joy gets spread all around to other people, does it not? Or if you feel a deep sense of peace in your heart and your life, same thing happens. That peace comes out and overflows in your life to others and touches others so that they too. And as Daniel came up, he said, am I going to get wet? And yeah, he might just well get wet because I'm pouring water here. And when I'm pouring water, who knows what will happen, right? And I think he indeed got a little wet. Yeah, at least I didn't pour it over your head. Well, the Holy Spirit is precious to us. Soak in the fruit of the reality in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Secondly, power to transform the human heart. Thirdly, to bring the reality of God's truth to overwhelm our minds and our hearts. And fourthly, to heal us of the lust after the fish and chips. Fish and chips, you know, I just play on the bread and the fish there. Okay. Thirdly, a clean cup, our only need or our greatest need in way of having Jesus come to us to fill our cup with the Holy Spirit. Roy Hessian in Calvary Road says in a subsection called Under the Blood, only one thing prevents Jesus filling our cups as he passes by, and that is sin in one of its thousand forms. Jesus didn't shrink back from Calvary. In Gethsemane, he fully sought and saw what he was about to drink in way of the dregs of sin. The cup, our cup, is always before him to overflowing with everything vile and dark and dirty. That's our cup. And we present it to Jesus because really, in way of gaining a clean cup, we cannot get out a cloth or a paper towel and clean our own cup in way of sin. No, the only way we can clean our own cup is to present our cup to Jesus to deal with. And our cups are very vile. They're dark. They carry a load of sin in them. Jesus takes our cup and cleans it by drinking the dregs of our vileness, our evil and our wickedness. He who was and is holy took upon himself and gulped that vile mess that we presented to him into his very core. In that way, he cleans our cup for us, taking our sin upon himself, stretching forth his hands, and dying upon a cross for our sins, taking all of our sins upon himself and in himself. Him who was holy, 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 took that which was so wicked and vile about us and drank it fully for us. Can you imagine the contrast of holy God taking that sin into himself and drinking completely the most ugly, despicable, vile kind of contents that we present to him as humanity? And that cup was not just a mere cup. That cup stretched from the beginnings of humanity with the first sin of Adam and Eve to the last sin when he will come again. So large was that cup. He didn't drink it just the big sins, but even the smallest insignificant sins, those sins and slips of the tongue that hurt and cut. He drank even those small, minuscule sins into his person as well for us. Holy God took upon himself our sin. As we come to the communion table this morning, we reflect on this and remember this in way of for 1,000 years and throughout eternity. I think we'll be just scraping the surface when it comes to understanding how holiness and God himself could take upon himself our sins and die for us. So beautiful, so amazing. Our hearts will explode for the glory of it. To see and experience it, to know such glory is communicated to us only by God's Spirit. Only by God's Spirit can we even get an inkling of the glory there pertaining to Christ dealing with our sin. Galatians 4:6 says, "Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, 'Abba, Father.'" We exchange cups with Jesus. Our cups are stained and unclean. He first shows us what's in our cups, and then he offers his lifeblood for our sin. Roy Hessian says the mere cleansing from the guilt of sin, nor is it just the stain of sin, but it's the stain completely of sin itself, whatever it might be, completely and utterly dealt with. And he cleanses our cups so he fills them to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. Only as we see our darkness, vileness, and evil will we hold up our cups to Christ to deal with, that he might empty them for us and indeed fill them to overflowing. I dare say that we fear reviling ourselves and seeing the blackness and ugliness of our sin, and so truly wail and lament the cursedness and the brokenness of our spirits, and so limit the Spirit's filling our hearts to overflowing. But this morning I encourage you to take up your cups in symbol form as we take up the cup of communion to receive of Jesus' blood and his body for us that is broken for us. And then to receive the Spirit's filling to overflowing in your hearts of abundance of all these things mentioned in way of the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Let's partake of communion together, and I call the people that are going to be serving today up to the front to help me serve. And up in the balcony, we have people that will be serving you up in the balcony as well. So let's bow our heads and commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus this morning as we receive of the communion elements. Lord, we come before you and we recognize our own sinfulness today. We recognize our own need of you to cleanse our cups. Indeed, we cannot cleanse them in and of ourselves. So we come presenting our lives before you, our hearts before you. As Hessian says, only as we raise up our cups to the Lord Jesus, only as we raise them up. Lord, may you cleanse them to the uttermost. May they be completely empty. May we name the sins even now in our hearts and our lives to know your grace, your mercy upon us, and then to receive from you an overfilling and overflowing of your Spirit's work within our lives, that we might minister to the world and the places that we are, that Holy Spirit would flow through us to those that are in the world that similarly need a cleansing, need their cups filled with your Spirit as well. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. So we ask you to take of the bread this morning. If you're a believer, a Christ follower, and retain that element until all have received it. And then once everybody's received it, then we'll be partaking together. So in this time of the passing of the bread, we ask that you solemnly talk to Jesus about your need before him in way of your sin and holding up your cup for cleansing. Let's stand together. At that Last Supper with his 12 disciples, he had washed the disciples' feet, and then he took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Let's partake together." Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your brokenness for us. We'll be eternally grateful. Amen. Please be seated. Let's stand together. On that night again, he, with his disciples, and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Take you all of it." Let's partake together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your shed blood for our sin. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your great joy and celebration that you give us because of your life was given for us. Amen. Please be seated.
This one last song, can we just show what it is on the chorus? It says, "Living, he loves me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried our sins far away. Rising, he justified. We are free forever. And one day he's coming. He's coming again." So this song, after we celebrate it and remember what Jesus has done for us, do you look forward to the day that he comes again? Do you? Let's rise together. Let's lift up our hands. Give thanks to him.
Free me forever. One day he's gone.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and forever. Amen. Please be seated. After silent prayer, please be dismissed and come and join us for some fellowship, some coffee downstairs if you have time. Also, we have Sunday school classes listed in the bulletin. If you'd like to join, just ask someone where the classes are and feel free to join us. Talk to Joanne about the Calvary Road if you'd like one of those books. May God bless you as you go into his week.